Today on Surfing the Quicksand, my guest is Sarah Scalin. Sarah is someone I've known for a number of years. It came out of our relationship as organizers, and she's really developed into a different direction that I think is so inspiring to me because it's one of those big professional purpose leaps. She made a big shift in the last couple of years that I think took a lot of bravery, and I'm going to talk to her about that. We're going to talk about her whole career and the different ways that I think serendipity and being open to change and being open to leaps has really peppered her whole journey. So if you're someone who has been looking for some inspiration on how you might get unstuck professionally, I hope Sarah's story is inspirational to you as it has been to me. My guest today is someone I'm very excited to introduce you to. She's someone that I met during my professional organizer journey at a time where she was also actively a professional organizer, but she's evolved her business and her life in some really significant ways since then. And I think she's a perfect example of someone who has taken a professional purpose leap. Sarah Scillin is from Nashville, and she first kind of migrated in this era that I've known her to diving deep into ADHD and ADHD coaching, moving away from professional organizing and the hands-on organizing work. She's very active in an organization called Institute for Challenging Disorganization. She's on the board there, and I love that she gets to drive their agenda. It's really like a go-to for places for people like me and organizers and practitioners who want to truly understand how to work with different specialty populations, and ADHD is top of my list, as many people know. I met her through the National Association for Productivity and Organizing Professionals. And one of the great things about that, it's allowed me to build such a wonderful network of amazing people across the country and other countries. And so that we've been able to cultivate this kind of remote relationship over years has been a real gem for me. Her story has shifted over the last couple of years as she has taken another role of hers, where she's been an instructor at an organization called the Coach Approach Training Institute, training coaches, to now owning the Coach Approach Training Institute. And I am really excited to share with you her story as she tells it, as she migrated through different phases in life to get to here in a way that I think echoes kind of the purpose and soulful connection she has to this work at this time in her life. And I think she's allowed this move to not only impact so many coaches, but their clients with the purpose that she brings to that. So welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you for that really lovely introduction. I'm excited to be talking with you today.
Great. One of the things that I also, again, back in your organizing days, love about where you've come from is you have a book called Organizing and Big Scary Goals, which I know is also kind of personal stories in there about dealing with your goals. But I want to start talking first about your time in organizing because I do think it is such a bedrock for other things, like it has been for me, about how we meet our clients where they are, with the challenges they're facing in the time, with the skills they have to help them get unstuck from where they are in those moments. And I know you have trademarked the stuff behind the stuff. And I want to hear more about that, how that came to be, and how it informs even the work you do today.
Absolutely. Yes. So the early days of organizing, which that's probably my third career. And in those early days of working with clients, certainly we are working on stuff. We are working on items in the home office, or we are working on things in the pantry, or we are working on under sink cabinet, or whatever the space might be. And as we worked on the stuff, the stories would come. You know, the clients would be sharing things that, you know, were so intimately connected with the items that we were working with and making decisions about. And it was very clear to me that, yes, I'm helping my clients with their stuff, but there's so much more to this. This is a holistic approach to working with people. And sometimes those stories are fascinating and sometimes they're heartbreaking, but they have an impact on the decisions and the way the clients are interacting with the objects and things around them in their spaces. And so I don't remember the exact, like, you know, I can't tell you the day and time when I was like, ah, the stuff behind the stuff. But it, you know, it came to me in sort of a flash, and I think I must have written a little bit about it in a blog post. I ultimately decided to completely rename my blog The Stuff Behind the Stuff. And that is the name of that blog to this day. Unfortunately, with, you know, with recent responsibilities, I've not been doing as much writing in that blog, but hope to get back to it soon. And I also don't remember exactly how or where I decided to trademark it, but I thought, you know, maybe that's a thing I should look into.
I trademarked Clever Girl Organizing, and I do remember exactly when I came up with that name. I was driving down the highway and it occurred to me, and I pulled over because I was so afraid I was going to forget it. And I looked up, I'm like, does anybody else have this? No, okay, it's
Yes.
mine, right?
Yeah,
When it
don't
hits
figure
you,
it
it
out.
hits you. When
Yeah,
it
I
hits
know.
you, it hits you. I got really lucky. And I feel the same way about Surfing the Quicksand and the name for this podcast. I'm like, when it's right, it's right.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did the searching too. And because I thought, ooh, you know, did I hear this from somebody else somewhere along the line? And you know, I always want to be mindful of that. And I love the name of the podcast, by the way. I think that's like, ooh, quicksand. That feels like a very maybe sort of Gen X nod to
Exactly,
all
exactly,
about quicksand. Yeah, that's great. It's beautiful.
exactly. I'm all about the Gen X and older millennial experience, and I'm so nostalgic. And a lot of the, you know, whether it's about the music, the toys, that kind of what we all grew up with. So it was very easy to kind of take that and say, oh, this is a touchstone for people. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me first about transitioning from kind of organizing into coaching. And I want to know more about not only professionally what was driving some of these decisions, but what was going on in life for you that put this in perspective?
You know, my very first NAPO conference, you mentioned earlier the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals. So the first conference I went to was not the first year of my organizing work, but maybe 2 or 3 years in. I remember walking into the big expo. You know, I was very wide-eyed. I did not really know anybody. I showed up to this conference, you know, not really being connected. I just really just wanted to soak everything and learn. But I remember going into the expo, and it must have been the first or second table on the left as you walked in was Coach Approach. And at that time, it was Coach Approach for Organizers.
I remember.
You know, the name has changed several times over the years. And I don't know what it was. I do remember this very moment, though. I remember looking at it and thinking, I don't know what that is, but I have got to find out what that is. And I remember going over to the table and talking with the people there and getting information about it. And I was just so intrigued. But I was sort of unsure. I was like, you know, I just started this business. Am I really thinking about going into something not exactly the same, but, you know, in aligned with it? So I got on the mailing list and then I just paused. I just kind of waited. I went through the process of getting my certified professional organizer credential. And then this is the second moment I remember very clearly. I'm working with a client, a longtime client in her garage. And she had ADHD and everything. We'd been working together a long time. It's just been going beautifully, a really wonderful client. And we agreed to take a short break. She went in the kitchen to get something to drink. I stayed out in the garage and I was checking my email. And this email pops up about the first course in Coach Approach, which is coaching essentials. And I don't remember what was said in the email specifically that struck me, but it was about, getting registered for the next run of it that was coming up. And I just thought, okay, I need to do this. And right there in the garage, like on my phone, I registered. That was in the fall of 2016. And it could not have been a weirder time for me to jump into something brand new, because I know some of this podcast relates to, sandwich generation and dealing with family. My father was very sick. My mother-in-law was very sick. There was a lot going on there. It's kind of proof that there's no perfect time to jump in on something. And I thought, well, I'll just give it a try and see how it goes. And that was a difficult fall. We lost both my father and my mother-in-law at that time. It was hard on the kids and my family and everything. It was neither was unexpected. They both led, but it's still hard. But yet somehow, I think in many ways, that training was already sort of helping me. We talk about in the training that, yes, you're learning how to coach, but you're also developing skills that really help you to grow personally. And I think that what I was learning in the classes was very supportive to me, not just in terms of how I was going to interact with my clients, but just in terms of how I was going to interact with others, how I was going to view myself. And there was a lot of growth there. So that's what was going on at that time.
It sounds very transformative in ways that you weren't necessarily thinking that's what you were signing up for. I know about you that you are someone who studies and have gone on to other coursework, and I know you have depth in spirituality programs and other things. How did this all come together for you? Did it feel planned or like an email showing up in a 5-minute break on a garage, kind of serendipitous?
I think mostly the latter, truly. I think when I initially registered for Coaching Essentials, I thought, well, I'll take the one course and I'll use it for, recertification hours, and I'll have some more skills, and it'll be great to work with my clients in this one. But when we got done with Coaching Essentials, I thought, nope, I'm signing up for the next one. So I signed up for the next one, and then even more growth and awareness occurred, and it was one thing after another. I just kept registering and kept going and kept learning. And even the coaching process, early on, where we encourage students, and I was encouraged to start the coaching almost immediately. Try this out with clients, try this out with friends, family members, whatever. And so I was already starting to do that, but I also had a colleague here in Nashville, a local therapist who specialized in ADHD. And when he heard I was doing the coach training, he said, "Oh, I'm going to send you people." And I said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Hang on. I haven't completed my training yet." And he said, "I know, and we'll tell them that, but it's not going to matter." And he had so much faith in me. Actually, it's Terry Huff. He wrote the foreword to my book, and was very important early on in that part of my career, very supportive and very helpful. And so I was getting a lot of opportunities early on to coach people. And I'm sure it was shaky, and I'm sure, I don't think I did any harm. I think I could rest easy on that. And I was always very transparent. I'm in this program, I'm working my way through. But you know what? It didn't matter, because it was making a difference. Even with a little bit of a lack of confidence, and certainly not the experience that I have now, it was being able to ask those questions was already having an impact on the way I worked with my clients. And the serendipity continued, and I think continues to this day. I never set out in the beginning to not organize. I never set out to say, oh, I'm going to shift from organizing to coaching. And I know some people do. Some people look at it as, okay, I'm getting older, and maybe I don't want to be lifting boxes and working in, attics at 102 degrees temperature or whatever. and they want to turn to coaching, and that's a beautiful way to go about it too. But no, that was never my thought. I always thought I was going to combine it. And it just naturally occurred that the demand for the coaching naturally went up. The demand for the organizing sort of started shifting, but then the pandemic changed it all. And that's where it really flipped.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, if I think about organizers that I know, the pandemic really changed how they approach their business. Some turned to virtual organizing and thrived. Some people stepped away. I think for me, one of the ways it impacted, I started virtual organizing in 2016, and in 2019, I was already doing training and speaking on how to be a virtual organizer to other organizers. So I was ready, and I actually did a lot of work in 2020 helping other people get ready. One of the ways that impacted me was the speaking, right? So I was doing a lot of public speaking, speaking at conferences, lunch and learns, all this. That shifted. So it's interesting that the concept of this kind of moment in time, which of course was devastating for a whole host of reasons, also for people who own their own business and generate revenue on it, suddenly they had to step back and rethink, what am I doing? How am I doing it? Do I like doing it this way? Is it actually providing an opportunity I hadn't thought about? So I really like hearing that it sounds like it's a little bit part of your story as well in that transition of like, oh, I wasn't planning on not organizing, but universe had other plans. So I guess this is where we're here. How do you reflect on that time?
I think what you just said about the universe had other plans definitely resonates. During that time, I was never formally trained in virtual organizing, but I had done it off and on. I had people from, say, my high school and college past friends would hear what I was doing, and they'd reach out and they'd say, "Hey, can you do this over the phone? Or can you do this over Skype?" Remember Skype? And so I had done a little bit of that, and it had gone pretty well. And during the pandemic, I did do a little bit of virtual organizing with some people, but it was impossible for me to not include the coaching. It was difficult for me to just let it be, okay, we're just gonna clear out, the inbox or whatever the thing happens to be. And I had been doing a lot of speaking as well up to that point, like lunch and learns, conferences, things of that nature. And so then there was this whole concept of virtual speaking. I remember NAPO had a virtual conference in 21, I think. It was
Yes.
21,
Yeah.
and so I did. I was a virtual speaker for that conference, and so I look back on that time as, yes, very difficult, very surreal in so many ways. I also had kids who were having to take high school and college courses in their bedrooms, and that was not fun at all, not fun for anybody. I can't imagine having small children during that time period. But all that to say, even in that uncertainty and difficulty, there were these new channels opening up, or new, I'll go ahead and say opportunities, new ways of being able to connect, being able to do things at a distance. When I first started my training at Coach Approach, it was all over the phone. And then when Zoom and other forms of, video conferencing became much more accessible and popular and commonplace, that gradually shifted over. And there's a difference in the nuance, right? When I started my standalone coaching, I did it all over the phone. And so now there's this different way of doing it that I actually really appreciate. I mean, there are some advantages to just listening, but I think there are also advantages to the nonverbal communication that we're able to pick up on. So I think, if we can look at a silver lining in all of this, it broadened the way that we're able to communicate.
I want to talk a little bit about coaching and communication and shift into that. So I've been a certified coach for a long time. I'm not an ICF certified coach for those people who are listening and know what that is. They know, if you know, you know. I know you're a professional certified coach, a PCC, so if you know, that's a big deal. But I started it back in my human resources role in that life, in that chapter. And then when I started my business, I again took a different approach to coaching and went through a program, a you know, a 10-month intensive program to, I don't know, break some habits, you know, they'll be like, oh, right, now that I'm doing this differently, how do I think about it? And when I talk to people about coaching, I say the difference between coaching and consulting is in consulting, you have questions, I have answers. In coaching, I have questions that I hope you have the answers to, and we are trying to facilitate a conversation where those answers come out for you. And it's my job to guide that in kind of a co-collaborative way. How do you define coaching to people?
Well, I think I would take what you said maybe a step further. I have questions and I trust you have the answers. I absolutely trust that my clients are creative and resourceful and whole and have their own best answers inside them. And it is such a fascinating journey to uncover them. It can be difficult too. And I think it's very important that we do define coaching accurately with clients from the beginning, because there is a role for consulting. There is a ro role for mentoring or giving advice. Those can be important supports as well. But when a client is really on fire to create some change and they are willing to look inside and are willing to look at their own perspectives and beliefs, it's just so magical. I even have said it's alchemical, right? We're taking something that feels like, oh, this is it, and this is what it is, and this is just the way it is. And I think a lot of time my clients with ADHD and other neurodivergence, that's kind of the one of the perspectives they walk in with. This is just how I am. And I used to have clients who would say, I just need you to hold my feet to the fire. I just need, because that's what they were expecting. They were expecting somebody to tell them what to do and then follow up with them and maybe, I don't know, heaven forbid, shake a finger at them if it didn't go well or it didn't work the way they thought it would. But this alchemical piece to the coaching, yes, this is the way it is now. And when we start to dig into it and look around and explore and get creative and gather data and sort of lay it all out and look at it in this really non-judgmental, loving space, then it's like, oh, wow, I can take a little bit of this. And then I can maybe kind of put that aside a little bit. And then they can co-create their own way of doing things, which is so much more powerful.
And I do think it's I think about surfing the quicksand and getting unstuck and my years of working as a coach, and you know those moments when suddenly their light bulb goes off and they are seeing things in a way they never did before, and they are more motivated than ever and feel armed more than ever to make their own change. It's an electric thing, and I'm so honored to be a part of that and people's journeys.
Yeah, it is very much an honor and a privilege to be able to be witness to that.
So I want to talk about the Coach Approach Training Institute. And I know you started as an instructor there. So it sounds like your journey went from I'm a student to I'm a teacher. And not so long ago, you were feeling, gee, gosh, I'm not done with my studies yet. I don't feel ready yet. And then you stepped up into, I'm ready to teach, which feels like the first pivot. Tell me about that.
The pivot from
From
being a
I'm a student and a coach, now I'm an instructor.
I'm an instructor. Well, I think it was as simple as being invited. Denslow Brown, the founder of the program, who had the brilliant idea to put the coaching skills together with the organizing skills, they were in need of another trainer for the brain-based coaching course. And the other trainer in that course, which I still teach to this day, is Susan Lieber, who was one of my first instructors, along with Cameron Gott, who also helped found the program. So there were all these connections, and I already knew Susan. And so I was asked if I would be interested in teaching that course with her. And my undergraduate degree is in education. And I had been a teacher for a while. And so it feels like a natural place for me to be. And I just thought, gosh, yes, how much fun would this be to be able to work with Susan, to be able to, bring this to the students. And really also selfishly, I learn a lot when I teach, right? I develop and grow when I teach things to other people. And so it just felt like a win-win all the way around. And so, I had a learning curve and I had to get up to speed on things. And so she and I taught, I think that was in 2019 when I first started teaching with her. And we just kept going. And yeah, I think that's really, it was no more complicated than that.
Now, one of my observations about coach approach, and I want to hear f before we get into you owning it, because during this time, I feel like it went through a transformation as well. When I first got exposed to it was really just for organizers, or it felt like it was really for organizers. And I remember, oh, that's not for me. I'm already a coach. I don't need that. I'm already coaching and organizing. But I think it's shifted, and now it's not just about organizing, it's life coaching, it's a whole bunch of other different coaching, and it's not just about organizers. So tell me that part about what Coach Approach Training Institute is now.
Yes. So I don't know exactly when the heavy transition occurred. It may have been during 2020. I'm not positive. I know that when I started teaching, it was still mostly organizers, but there was also the occasional person who maybe was coming from an educational background or, I can remember somebody maybe being in the design world. There were starting to be some other people, catching wind of what was going on, right? It's a really wonderful curriculum. It's a really strong, robust, and very powerful curriculum. I'm biased, of course, but other people were hearing, word was getting out, in other words. And there is has always been this focus on ADHD, and then eventually also neurodiversity as we learn more about the brain and all the different things that can have an impact. And so then that started attracting people who were interested in pure ADHD coaching or neurodiversity coaching. And it just started sh again, serendipity. I won't say that it was planned. I don't think it was. It was just, oh, this is interesting. These people want to come in too. Yeah, let's welcome them in as well. And in the time that I've been working with it, we've expanded. I haven't consciously marketed one way or the other. I do still, go to the organizing conferences, and I still feel very strongly that these are skills that organizers should have. And I'm biased about that. I think that when you are working in intimate locations and spaces with other human beings, you need to have a good foundation in how to help support them with the stuff behind the stuff. And I think that's what coaching can make so much of a difference with. So it's still a very strong program for organizing and productivity professionals. And also, we have made pieces and parts of it more accessible, more encompassing, so that we have, again, we have people from education, we sometimes have people from counseling, therapy backgrounds, advocacy, ADHD, all of those things, and more.
And I can't tell you how often in my career coaching business, right? Again, I'm working with Gen X, older millennials, mid-career people who are saying, I don't think I want to keep doing what I've been doing, or I've been laid off, or I think I'm going to get laid off, or I'm worried about it, and I want to build a path towards a kind of a sustainable future I could do for a long time, which I personally believe coaching really can be. I feel like I talk to people like, I'm thinking about coaching. And they're not people that I would normally have said, oh gosh, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have said, no, not coach approach. That's for organizers. And I'm saying, you know what? I know of a really solid program I'd love for you to look at. And I love having that as a resource I'm always believing like my goal is being resourceful as I can be. I love having that resource to people who are teachers who don't want to teach anymore, or they're like, listen, I clocked out. I'm 55. It's my age, but I still want to grow and learn and impact. And so I love having Coach Approach to tell people about. So now the pivot for you is you purchased Coach Approach. You went from I'm a student and then a coach and then an instructor, and now you are the person who manages its presence and designs its future. Tell me first about what needed to be in place in your life for you to even think about such a thing.
Well, let me back up real quick and just say thank you for recommending Coach Birch to other people. That makes me very happy. So again, I feel like much of this was serendipitous. I began having some initial conversations with Denslow, just very unformed kinds of conversations. She was not sure exactly what she wanted to do. You know, that's certainly an important process that she needed to think about. But she was recognizing that she would want to step back some, semi-retire, not be in charge of the whole thing. She wasn't sure what that was going to look like. And so we had these sort of, again, not fully formed conversations. And I thought, oh, wow, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. And I guess when you say what had to be in place, as you alluded to earlier, I had also gone through a spiritual direction program where we talked a lot about, and it's interfaith. It's not like a particular religion or anything. It's really about the inner journey, the inner work that we do, and what our meaning and what our purpose is, and how we can support the journeys of other people who are looking for their meaning and purpose. And I started looking at my journey and recognizing, well, okay, my kids are out of the house and I'm not caring for aging parents at this point. And things feel pretty stable with the coaching. In fact, the coaching was kind of going gangbusters. And I had another conversation with her, and I don't even remember. Well, I think she sent out a survey to a lot of us. Yeah, there was a survey that went out and different people were, you know, do you want to have discussions about this? What kind of a role might you play? Just all kinds of really interesting questions for us to think about. And she and I were having a conversation and I said, I wonder if it's me. You know, I wonder if this is what I am supposed to do now. It is so important to me that this program be available to organizers, that it be available to others as well, certainly. And I know what an impact it had on me. And I want to, in whatever form this looks like, and I was very open. I didn't have like, I'm going to be the owner and the director of education. That wasn't exactly how it was on the front end. I just thought, whatever I'm supposed to do here, I am ready to do. I am in the place with my emotional self, my mental self, my spiritual self, my familial self. I'm in the place where whatever's supposed to happen here, I am open to it. And so as we continued to have conversations, that's when the decision was made.
So again, a little serendipitous in the driving, right? It's Denslow's at a stage in her life and making kind of broad inquiries, and you being able to first kind of connect with the meaning behind, not only the meaning behind Coach Approach, but the meaning for you. And I get a very sense of a, like a nurturing sense that comes out of it, like, oh, this curriculum, this program, this pathway is so important to me because I know how important it is to these people and their clients, right? So one does not simply say, oh, I'm going to go buy this business, right? There's other stuff that go along. And I don't mean to get into the the tactical and all the steps, but that's a big shift of effort and learning and bravery. Can you think about the kind of the push and pull of that time, the fits and starts of moving from, I think it's me, to, hey guys, it's me, and how that pathway?
I honestly, maybe time has changed things a little bit. I don't remember fits and starts. I remember once I said, I think it's me, it was pretty quick that, okay, yes. And how do we go about this? And who, what other resources, what other experts do we need to talk to about this? She had never sold a business. I had never bought a business. And so there was a real collaborative way of doing this and, reaching out to other people and talking about, well, what are the legal ramifications? What are the financial ramifications? I was fortunate. One of my other prior careers was as a paralegal, and I had done co corporate business law. So, I had those, I knew where to go on a Secretary of State website to, take care of some of the filings and things. So I don't remember it being, I don't remember any of it ever being like, oh, this is never going to work. It was always, okay, we need to figure this piece out. Okay, let's talk about it. And then who else do we need to talk to? Okay, cool. Now we have this information. Let's add this into it. Now what do we need to do? And it was just kind of one foot in front of the other. And then we decided to make the official announcement. We hadn't, there's all the legal process and everything of a purchase a sale. And so we didn't have all of that quite in place yet. That wasn't anything on either of our parts. We weren't dragging our feet or anything, but lawyers, I mean, what am I going to say? But we decided that we wanted to go ahead and make the announcement. So we made the announcement before the NAPO conference in April of 24. Yes. And that's when I was at the table with her and we let people know, and everybody was so supportive. And, it was just, it's an amazing, and I sort of fulfilled executive director, and she was like training me, how to do all these different things. And, and then we finalized it in July of 2024. And she's still involved and still helping me, as are many other people. I'm not doing this all by myself.
So I want to talk about that. And you just 30 seconds ago mentioned supportive and how supportive people be. So this is a big move personally, professionally, and kind of in this niche of an industry. What's the support that you need, that you've received, that's really helped you make this transition so strong and successful?
Well, the trainers in the program, again, I'm biased. I think they're just stunning in their ability to teach coaching, to embrace coaching, to set examples in all kinds of other ways. I mean, I think about Cam Gott, who, again, was very closely involved with the start of the program with Denslow. He's been an amazing support from a historical perspective, and also just being an incredible resource on ADHD and being well known in that world. And so we talk regularly. I talk with Denslow almost weekly, through whatever it might be. She still helps out a lot with the credentialing aspect of things as I am getting up to speed and taking training around that so that I'm fully qualified to be able to credential people. Other, Susan Lieber, my co-trainer for brain-based coaching, who's also a dear friend. She's been an amazing sounding board. I mean, really every trainer we have. I mean, Casey Moore, Elizabeth Brink, I'm going to name them, Diane Thompson, Marisa Taylor. I'm afraid I'm going to forget somebody. Ellen Fay. Oh my
Oh my
goodness.
gosh.
Ellen. Yeah. So Ellen, who for your listeners is a former president of NAPO, one of our trainers, she has been enormously helpful from that strategic planning perspective, because that one of her areas of expertise. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody
It's like an
else.
Academy Awards speech, right?
It really is. I know. I'm like, but they are all so astounding in their own verticals, I guess is the word I'm looking for. You know, each one of them has areas of expertise that, you know, come together. I mean, they're authors, they're podcasters, they are you know, they're experts in that field.
You have a real community there, and again, a good blend of people who have skills in their verticals, and your ability to recognize, I need help in this vertical, and I'm comfortable asking, right? I think asking for help is something that we midlife women aren't great at, and I always want to see and extol the and champion when people actually do it. So I love hearing that. I want to pivot a little bit before we close out. I want to talk about, you mentioned your early coaching essentials, because I feel like that's still the backbone of coach approach. If somebody's listening to this and they're hearing their own inspiration and like, oh, I've always thought about coaching. I want to learn more. I want to do things. Tell me about that. What would somebody who's got an inkling, a big dream, a big goal,
A
what
big
would they do
scary
next?
goal.
A big scary goal. What would they do next?
So, I want to make sure I also mention Ari Tuchman, who is also one of our trainers. And I think I said Diane Thompson, but if I didn't, I'll say her too.
Ari Tuchman wrote the intro to my book.
Oh, okay. Beautiful. Yeah. Amazing. So,
Amazing.
if somebody is interested and intrigued by this, Coaching Essentials is the starting place if you have not had prior coach training. It is taught again by the amazing Casey Moore and Elizabeth Brink. And they have created this amazing little ecosystem, incubator might be a better way to put it. It's almost like a little, it's, you know, you're going to get all of your basic coaching skills. You're going to get really grounded in understanding the distinction between coaching and organizing and consulting and mentoring and those kinds of things. And it's an 8-week course. It meets for 90 minutes each week via Zoom, live, online. All of our courses also have what we call skills building groups. So you're partnered up with other students in the course to practice the skills outside of class, which is
Oh
critical.
my gosh,
You
yes.
can't coach unless you practice coaching. And so this creates a safe way for people to try these things out and start to get, go from being the shaky colt to the more confident pony or horse or however you want to describe that. But and it is designed to be a standalone course. If somebody wants to take Coaching Essentials and then stop and say, I'm good, that's really helpful and I'm good, they certainly can. There's no, you know, you must keep going or you must commit to, you know, a year's worth of training or even 2 years. So our next cohort is in January. We have a fall cohort, but it's full.
Great, as well should be.
It's wonderful. I mean, and these two, I will say, and I'm not, there's like no pressure intended, they do tend to fill up early. So if somebody's interested, they could go to the website, coachapproachtraining.com. They can find out all the information about Coaching Essentials there and how to.
Good. And we'll put all that information in the show notes too. I think I love that point around you could just take this course and it will improve how you're communicating, how you're helping others, how you're kind of helping to facilitate other people's journeys. It could be its own end goal of saying, I just want to level up my skills. I want to be more self-aware. I want to kind of understand my own bad habits I'm falling into that I can break out of too. I expect it's probably also a nice refresher course for people who've been doing it a while. So I think that's great. Sarah, I love this conversation, and I really loved the pathway, which was a combination of, we can talk about serendipitous moments, but action doesn't happen without action, right? So lots of ways the
Absolutely.
universe presented itself with opportunity to you, your continued bravery and taking a step and really piling at it. Like it's not forever. This isn't this doesn't have to be everything. It's not forever. What's next? What's next? What's next? And I think it's a really inspiring story. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
Good. I want to finish every episode with what I'm calling the quicksand three. So I have three questions for you.
Okay.
And they're about recharging, dreaming big, and getting unstuck. So the first is, do you have a strategy or a trick that you use to get yourself unstuck when you have to do something you don't want to do?
Well, when I was first thinking about this, I think in some ways, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So I try to structure my life. I mean, most of the things I do are things I want to do. Or if they're not things, like if it's a little thing that's sort of an annoying thing I have to do to get to the thing I want to do, I try to keep that bigger goal in mind, right? Like I might want to do X, Y, and Z, but to get there, I've got to do some of this smaller stuff that's maybe not as fun. So there's keeping that bigger meaning in mind. And also sometimes, yeah, we're faced with something that's like, ugh, what am I going to do here? I really, really don't want to. I don't know. I can't even think of an example here, but whatever it has to be. I think for me, it's the old standard, break it down into a first step. And maybe that first step is just sitting down in front of the computer.
Yeah. I breaking things down into what can you actually do and what's the very next step. I think that's a core to a lot of success. Okay. My second question is, if money, ability, era in time, location, anything was not an issue, what's a job or career you might have liked to try?
I am so excited about this question. So when I was a senior in college, my very final quarter, I had already done my student teaching. I was, I managed to miss one of the gen ed requirements, which was to take another, I guess, social science. So I signed up for Anthropology 101. And I will never forget sitting in that lecture hall, and it may have just been senior jitters or whatever, but I remember sitting in the lecture hall. It was a fabulous professor. He had won Professor of the Year many, many times. He's actually kind of famous in the anthropology world. He was such a compelling instructor. I was like, oh, I've been in the wrong major for 4.5 years. And I was so fascinated with anthropology. And in particular, one of his specialties was forensic anthropology. I know, kind of out there. But he also approached it from, I do this to help people. I do this to make, help families, and all this kind of thing. So I would say if there was no restriction, I would love to be some kind of an anthropologist, either a cultural anthropologist or a forensic anthropologist, because I just think it's absolutely fascinating.
I love that. Oh my gosh. And of course, you've been out of college a minute. So the fact that it's still stuck with you in such a passionate way is so inspiring. Okay, last question. When life gets chaotic, what's something you do to kind of recharge or hit the reset button?
Well, I do have a strong meditation practice that I have kept up for many, many years. So that is a thing I do in the mornings that's kind of an anchor for me, it doesn't matter what is going on. I try to even just take 5 minutes for that. But also, I have some favorite podcasts, and sometimes I will just sort of put on one of those podcasts and check out, maybe I'll get a glass of wine or a glass of sparkling water or whatever, and I'll put on that podcast and I'll make dinner or I'll, finish up some laundry or whatever. And it's just kind of a way to, it's kind of, you have your AirPods in, it sort of feels like you're in your own little world. I love the podcast Spooked, which has all kinds of ghost stories, which is something I'm kind of fascinated with. I know I love the ghost story stuff. I love some of the true crime stuff. And so I just sort of check out in that world for 45 minutes to an hour and listen and also do some things while I'm listening. And then I just kind of feel better.
I love it. Well, I hope surfing the quicksand makes your repertoire at some point in time.
Yes. like, oh, now I've got another one that I can, it's going to be so much fun to listen to all the episodes.
Good. I love it. Sarah, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your time and your energy and your generosity with your story. And I'm excited that we got to share not only your personal story, but maybe the start of somebody else's personal story if they've been thinking about coaching.
That's very exciting to me. Thank you. I really appreciate having this opportunity with you, Kathy.
Well, that was great. I am so glad that Sarah and I got to spend time together. And, you know, we had a conversation beforehand about some of the things I was going to ask. But really, I love that these conversations are so organic and we get to take the conversation wherever it inspires us. I really do believe in the amazing work that coaches can do for people. And, you know, and I'm not just saying that because I am a coach and I love working with people and helping them get unstuck. But knowing that there's a smart way to do it and a prudent way to do it, and that there are ways to learn those skills, I think that's one of the benefits that Coach Approach really offers. And I'm actually really grateful that Sarah stepped up again in this kind of nurturing way to ensure that Coach Approach lives on, because it's been so valuable to so many people. And in this new era, it really gets to continue to ensure that many people who become coaches and their clients will benefit from this kind of really solid curriculum. So again, I'm going to put in the show notes information about Coach Approach and Coaching Essentials and Sarah's information. And if you want to reach out to her for more, or if you're interested in her ADHD coaching, right, she's got that going on too. So I hope that this has been a great journey for you as you've learned about Sarah as much as it has been for me.